Moving on to Jaren Jackson Jr., who, speaking of things about tomorrow's game that will be exciting, Jaren Jackson Jr., the latest injury report from the Memphis Grizzlies said that Jaren Jackson has been listed as questionable. And if you pay attention to the tea leaves, pay attention to the receipts, the history of the injury reports with the Memphis Grizzlies, questionable usually means probable. There's been very few questionables that haven't actually played. And I'm excited to see it. I think Jaren will play tomorrow. I made my prediction for last week, last Friday. That didn't happen. But here we are, one game removed, and Jaren Jackson Jr. looks to be making his debut. I'm excited about it. That's why I was ready to go on my rant too, man, when this podcast started. Because if we had won that game yesterday, we would have been the number one seed in the West, regardless of what all the skeptics, the naysayers, local and national, have said about the Memphis Grizzlies and what they would have been. Because Jaren Jackson's not here, if we could have went into that game tomorrow, tops in the West, the shit I would have talked here on these airways, shout out to whatever that was, but yeah, the shit I would have talked if we had had the number one seed. That's why I was ready to shit on the whole resting guys thing, but it's validated, so I'm cool. But Jaren Jackson Jr. returns, the Grizzlies are currently fifth in the West, maybe like a game out of first place or something like that. It's real jumbled at the top. I think they played exceptionally well. And now you get the Black Panther back. Trippy 13, Triple J, whatever you want to call him. He's coming back tomorrow. First team, all defensive player last year. Guy who I thought should have been a defensive player of the year. I think his foul trouble and basically was the only reason why he did not get that, because of lack of actual time on the court. But he is back tomorrow. What are your thoughts? What do you expect to see? Minutes restriction? You think he, you know, what do you think he will see tomorrow?
My guess is minutes restriction, same, mm-hmm. probably like, you know, like we've seen, whether that's 25 minutes, whatever it is, they'll be that. Mm-hmm. I mean, Jaren's going to be like a, you know, like a baby horse, man, just trying to run, you know, because we've seen him dancing in the pregame intros and everything else. Like, he's been itching to be out there, probably has felt in his mind healthy enough mm-hmm. to go for a while now. So I imagine you're probably looking at a situation where you're probably going to try to do too much right. early on.
I'll say this, hate to interrupt you, but
go ahead.
You said a 25 minutes injury restriction. Shit, that's a good time for Jaren, because that foul trouble, man, that's around his average, really, if you look at Jaren's numbers. So if we can get 25 minutes out of him, I would love to see it, man.
Well, every game with the Pelicans is important. It's the first of four matchups with them. Again, it's as much a statement as it is with New Orleans. So, you know, the idea that you roll him out there just playing 15, 20 minutes, as healthy as he's looked, I think that goes again. You know, Jaren's itching to go. He's a young guy. Doctors have obviously given him the clearance to go on 5-on-5. You know, if you're playing in 15-20, are you trying to win the game? And I think, unlike with Washington, this is a situation, Western Conference game, you want to get as many of these as possible, especially on the road. So I'm hopeful he's able to go at least 25 and stay out of foul trouble. Probably you're right, Saint. You know, that's been one of Jaren's hangups for a lot of his career. Did a little bit better with it last year, in a year where he played 78. I think it was 78 games last year. Ends up leading the league. You mentioned it. In blocks per game at 2.3. You know, you're adding him, I touched on earlier, to a defense that's slowly but surely gone from dead last in the NBA to 21st. Taylor's finally got them playing with the sort of effort level they have to. Now you put your anchor back in. Sure, there's initially going to be some adjustments having Jaren back, but frankly, it's going to make everybody else's job easier. And that's not just, you know, Jaren is such a guy that you can – you know, whether it's on switches, whatever else, he's out on the perimeter defending, he's down low. I mean, he's just going to be such an energizer on that defensive end for a team that's, you know, improving there by the game. So I'm excited to see, you know, what he's going to look like in terms of the bounce level. But I do expect us to see some rust, and this is probably see a guy maybe try to do a little bit too much early on. Right. Maybe it's with the three-pointer. Maybe it's offensive fouls. But it's just going to be good to have Jaren back. He was an anchor. Yeah. For them last year, one of the key reasons why they were so good defensively.
And something else, you brought up a key point, and you sparked a good point in my mind as well. The defense has been getting better without him. And slowly. That's not just because guys are playing better, or just, you know, playing more disciplined. Your younger guys who are in your rotation are getting used to those minutes. You know, even if you're calling Santi a younger guy, he's, you know, this is his first time starting. He's getting more reps. He's the game is slowing down for him. Roddy, the game is slowing down for him. LaRavia, slowing down for him. Those guys are getting key minutes. and their defense is just getting better. Guys, and Ja's playing better defense than he's ever played in his career. The defensive end definitely will be better because of Jaren. But something to think about, that's not the only thing that's changed since the last time Jaren has played. The last time Jaren played, people were like, okay, is Jaren the number two scoring option? And he was kind of feeling like he had to be that guy on the court. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So with that being said, it's clear that there's Ja Morant and Desmond Bane is your clear, without a doubt, number two scoring option. Jaren does not have to be that guy at all.
That's true.
And I think that level of comfort coming in, not having to even worry about scoring that much, Jaren just got to be free, be that super defensive anchor we expect him to be, knock down those three-point shots when we need him to, get to the basket, draw some fouls. He's one of the better players in the league as far as scoring off the dribble, which is a strange number. But at one time, he was one of the better players, and some odd statistic about him and getting to the basket off of ISO. Like I said, Jaren, but I think just the pressure that he knows he doesn't have to be, because forever it's been John Jaren. Why can't – will Jaren be able to score enough? Will Jaren be able to do this? With Desmond Bane being the player, the all-star level player that Desmond Bane has been this year, Jaren, that pressure can be off of him. I hope he comes out free and comfortable tomorrow. I'm really expecting to see a shit show, just to be honest with you. I think Jaren's going to look pretty bad tomorrow, just all things considered. But I hope that over time we can see him settle in and just kind of be that ultimate – kind of trump card, especially defensively for this team.
Do you think that's something he welcomes and embraces, Jaren, yeah, being a third scoring option, yeah, behind a Bane with the step up that Bane's taking?
Yeah, I remember Ja's rookie year, Jaren was the leading scorer on the team for the majority of that season. A lot of people don't remember that. Jaren was our leading scorer in 2019 for the majority of the season until Ja just really turned up. I don't think Jaren was a guy who was strictly nothing but a defensive player in college that could knock down threes on occasion. Learning actual like post moves and offense, that's something that is learning on the fly in the NBA in a career that's been riddled by injury. So I think that if that pressure of Desmond Bane being your clear number two, and then from Jaren, if you're asking for maybe 12 to 15 points a game as opposed to 15 to 19, I think that can take a lot of pressure off of him, man. I just hope that the game continues to slow down for him. He's getting into his adult body. I just hope he can be more disciplined as far as like not being as handsy. And the bad fouls, man, the offensive fouls, the reach-in fouls, those type of things. If he gives me six fouls protecting the basket at the rim, I can deal with those. But I just hope that over time this season we see him mature and just really be that true defensive anchor for this team.
What about Jaren the shooter? Saying last couple of years, you know this, it was 32% mm-hmm. last year, 28% in an injury-shortened year, very small sample size. He's had the 1 year. It was year two.
Well, he's looking historically good.
39%. Is he that, or is he, is he a high? Is he a high volume, low 30 shooter? Like where does that eventually settle in his three point shooting? Because it's such a part of his game. What's he going to end up being? Because I'll be honest with you, another 31-32% for me. That's not good enough.
Right. I honestly think he's closer to being the guy we saw in year two, that 39% shooter. He has a horrible form. We're aware of that. There's nothing about his form that you would want him to repeat. But I think that Jaren
– I just hope that's not an outlier, saying.
Yeah, it could be.
Years, we're hoping to get back to year two in that 39, and right. He's steady out there jacking shots.
That's another thing, too. At one time, if you look at the 2020 season, the first year we went to the playoffs, we were coming in anticipating Jaren being our best shooter on the team. That's another role and responsibility. It's not his. It's clear that Desmond Bane is one of the better shooters in the entire NBA. So I think that when those responsibilities fall off of you, plus he might get even, he's probably going to get much better looks this year than he got in the past.
Now that, yes.
I'm banking on, if I were to be a betting man, I would bet that Jaren finishes somewhere between 34.5%, 37.5% this year, somewhere like that. I don't think he gets back to that second year, but I think you will see an increase in his three-point percentage compared to last year. Because here's another example by example. Like this year, like if you ask yourself the question, like is Santi Aldama shooting the ball well? You say, yeah, he's shooting the ball fine. He's shooting the ball worse than Jaren shot the ball last year. But the perception of it is that Santi's shooting the ball pretty good. I think that you'll see Jaren. I think you'll see him come back. I'm confident that he'll shoot the ball much better this year. I think it'll be less volume, of course, which clearly isn't a bad thing, because we all get frustrated with the amount of threes that Jaren takes. But I think that you'll see him take less, but he'll make them at a better percentage.
I want to see more of a development in Jaren's game. You just touched on, like, going to the basket. There's something when he is under control. There's something there.
It's unguardable. That little spin move he does from the left side.
Let me tell you what should also be unguardable. Yeah. Saying to your point, the pick and roll with him and Ja.
Yeah.
Like, they don't finally getting the two-man game that we can. Both of those guys have the skill to do. Got to get them on the court at the same time, whether it's been injured, whatever else. But through these, last 3 years, it's been, can you get that pick and roll, that two-man game that feels like it could be so unstoppable, Sam? That part of his game, you know, whether it's pick and pop because he's got that ability, or him rolling to the basket, which Steven Adams really can't do. You know, he brings that athleticism. Right. I want to see that part of Jaren Jackson's offensive game develop. Of course, I want to see him shoot the ball well, but I don't want to see him spend so much time back there that they aren't developing what should be a monster pick and two-man game with him and Ja, and then seeing him take that ball to the basket more often. I just think it's a strength of his that is underutilized.
Yes. Yeah. They don't do it enough at all. Jaren gets a lot of moving screen calls in there too. He's got to put in the work, man.
Yeah.
And that's another unfortunate thing about him being hurt during the offseason. The
setback. Right.
Yeah. I would have loved to have seen him and Ja just disappear and have a honeymoon. Like we're going away from the world, shut it down, leave the games, leave the phone at home.
In the dark.
In the dark for sure. Just the two of them. Like, you know, cue the song, just the two of us, whatever. Like, I would love to see that happen this summer, but instead, Jaren was rehabbing. Like I said, man, that's fine. I would love to see him expand his game offensively for sure. I'm just glad to see him back, man, for sure.
No doubt.
Nothing else. I'm confident everything else is going to work itself out.